The Boston Celtics get a comfortable-ish win in Chicago, but watch out. Aaron Nesmith is hitting shots. I'm going to talk about it on this Tuesday Locked On Celtics. Miller, let's go. Rain and Jay's back with the vengeance back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. The crowd goes crazy. Most in-depth coverage on the daily. Mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings. Focus like Danny at the deadline. Global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line. Play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day. Trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making this show part of your daily routine. Whatever it is you're doing, wherever you're going, I'm glad you're taking this show along with you. I'm John Corrales. I host this show on a Monday through Friday basis. So if you're a new listener, that's what you're going to get, a Monday through Friday daily podcast. I cover the Boston Celtics. I also am the author of the Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, a book that is now available wherever you can buy books. Boston Celtics win 119-103 over Chicago, winning their second straight game on the back-to-back. Celtics getting Jason Tatum back. No Kemba Walker, but comfortable-ish. They, you know, Chicago made some runs, but there's, you know, this was never completely out of control. Like, there are some points here where Chicago just hung around, but I felt like the Celtics, I would say nervous for the Celtics. I never thought like, ooh, this could be it. There was a point during the fourth quarter where Brad Stevens kind of held on to a Jason Tatum plus the bench lineup like a little too long. Like, the Celtics had done a decent job getting it up to 20 at that point, and the lead was somewhere around 20 for most of the game. The Celtics got their lead up to as big as 22, but Chicago would cut it down to like 10, 12, and they had it up to about 20 or so in the fourth quarter, and Chicago made a run. And Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart, who both had awesome games, were sitting there on the bench, and I thought, okay, Brad Stevens on the back-to-back with the Celtics up this big is probably hoping he doesn't have to use them again, and he's going to let Tatum and see if Tatum can kind of close this out. And Chicago just made a run, and he had to reinsert Jaylen and Marcus Smart, and that basically closed things out. Celtics end up winning by 16. This was a very cool stat line between Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. So Tatum in 31 minutes in his return, 10 of 21 shooting for 21 points. Jaylen Brown in about 30 minutes, 10 of 21 shooting for 26 points. Really, the difference was at the free throw line. So Tatum, in his first game back after the long layoff, 24 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds, a block, just 2 turnovers. Jaylen still being Jaylen, 26 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. Marcus Smart was awesome for most of this game, 25 minutes, 13 points, 11 assists. About 3 of them, I think, were behind the back passes, 5 rebounds. Daniel Theis looking good with 19 points on 8 of 12 shooting. 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, 3 blocks. What a line. What a line for Daniel Theis. 19 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals, 3 blocks. Nice. So segment 1 here, we're going to be the good. There's plenty of that. Segment 2 and some of the bad. And segment 3, Tatum came back off of COVID. He talked a little bit about it. And there, Avery Bradley, there's a podcast out with Chris Haynes that included Avery Bradley and his COVID thing. And I've got to share that stuff because it highlights a lot of the things that I've been talking about. With COVID in the NBA, it doesn't sit well with me. And that's going to be the third segment. So let's do the good here first. So Jaylen Brown, we'll start with him. 10 of 21 shooting, like I said, 26 points. Looked good. Got into the middle of the lane. Got into the paint at will. Was almost as much in his bag in this one as he was against Cleveland. It's just that in the second quarter, I think he might have gotten a little tired or so because he struggled a little bit in the second quarter, 0 of 5 shooting in there. So that 10 of 21, you throw out that second quarter, he was 10 of 16. And if he hit a couple of these shots here, it would have been another 30-point game for him. Not a big deal, but Jalen, this was a very easy, casual kind of almost 26-point game, which just highlights where we are with him. That 26 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals is just kind of like a, yeah, that's a Jaylen Brown night. And if you want more gushing for Jaylen Brown, listen to last night's show, yesterday's show, because that was the big one. But this is just another kind of like, yeah, Jaylen's good. And there it is, good numbers. Tatum, I thought, looked pretty good. He had some moments there where I thought maybe he didn't have the lift, and maybe he looked a little bit smaller because he hasn't been able to lift weights. So he maybe looked a little bit, just a tiny bit thinner. But still, I think just overall, he shot well. 10 of 21, 40, just about 48%. 3 of 6 from 3. And you know, he didn't get to the line, 1 of 2. That's par for the course, really. But just a nice return for Tatum, who, again, it looks like he's going to be carrying bench units. Now, in the second segment, I'll be talking some about those bench units, because I think, well, it was an aberration. It certainly was an aberration because of the situation, but I think there's a fix. Tatum, the one thing really I want to talk about, the pass that he made to Javonte Green, I want to say it was the second quarter. Jason Tatum comes off pick and roll. He's on the right side of the floor. He turns the corner to the center of the floor. And then off the dribble, one hand, lefty, bullet pass to the right corner. So he's going right to left, and then he turns around, kind of back where he was coming from, Javonte in the corner for a three. Why is this pass something I want to talk about? Because it shows another level of court vision. This is a really important, I think, aspect of Tatum seeing the floor. When a player is running a pick and roll, you have, now if I'm the ball handler, here's what I'm seeing. I've got the ball, and if I'm very focused, if I'm too focused, the first thing that I see is my guy, and I see a body coming to set a pick for me, okay? My teammate's coming. I know he's coming. And now I'm looking, okay, what's my guy doing? What's my teammate's guy doing? Is he dropping? Is he switching? What are they doing? So I'm focused on these two players here. And it's very easy. And if I recall correctly, both guys kind of went with Tatum a little bit. So now I'm the guy, I'm Tatum, I've got the ball. In front of me, I've got two very large people. But Tatum's also a large person. And that's enough for a lot of people. You're reading the defense. Does the pick setter's defender come with me? Is my guy coming with me too? Well, now I've got my pick setter on a roll or a pop. I know I've got two defenders. So what do I do with the guy who just set the pick? That's generally the level of vision for a lot of guys running the pick and roll. You're reading what his defender did, you're reading what your defender did, and you're reacting. But on this play, Otto Porter is supposed to be guarding Javonte Green. And Otto Porter stepped 2 steps into the lane. He's now 2 deep into the paint, because he's protecting against Jason Tatum turning the corner and driving into the lane. And the Bulls were really trying to collapse on drivers in the lane. Part of why Jaylen Brown was 0 for 5 in the second quarter. Tatum looks beyond that, the defenders that are on him. And this is what really superior court vision does. The people in front of you almost don't matter. You feel it, you see it, you process it, now you're scanning the rest of the floor. That's hard to do because you're now accounting for two people who are right on top of you, and now you're looking and you say, well, you've already processed that. I've got two guys on the left side, one guy who just set a pick for me, and I don't know if I've got that guy in the corner. As soon as he recognized that Otto Porter took those two steps, literally that second step, boom, that pass was off. And left-handed, accurately, into Javonte Green's shooting pocket, corner three. That level of recognition, that court vision, is spectacular. Unbelievable. I love it. That's just, it's another level of recognition. That's just being able to see something that I don't think that he would see in years past. Certainly not until maybe the end of last season. So I needed to point that out because that was a tremendous play and just something to watch for, because it feels like Tatum is making strides with his passing. Okay, Marcus Smart, also a positive, 13 points, 11 assists. The 11 assists were beautiful. He had a gorgeous alley-oop, perfectly thrown to Daniel Tice. He was just picking people apart. Behind-the-back passes, I mean, he had a couple of plays where it was like, eh. He tried one behind-the-back pass too many, and it got picked off, and then he fouled on the other end. But he was in total control of especially that first half. So shouts to Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart, when he's under control and not trying to shoot too much, when he doesn't feel like he has to do a lot, or when he doesn't feel like, hey, I haven't scored in a while, I need to get a bucket, I need to get some shots up. When he's really running that offense, he can be a great point guard. I think he's a really good point guard. The only problem with Marcus Smart as a point guard is sometimes he gets a little too confident, which has just been an issue, and sometimes he'll start shooting a little too much. But he was great in this game. Just a great performance. All right, gotta get to Aaron Nesmith, who was, again, just 3 of 5 all three-pointers. Looked confident. His shot, it looked calm. He wasn't rushing. This is like the first full game where I can say, I don't think that he was playing fast at all in this game. Maybe on a couple of occasions, he looked maybe a little rushed, but that move where he went baseline and ended up committing the offensive foul, that was a little out of control. He finished that, by the way. Everybody was like, oh, still nice finish, but good idea, a little out of control, but nitpicking there. That's a nitpick. 3 of 5 from three, exactly what the Celtics want. Defensively, I saw some good things, whereas just a few weeks ago, did not see good things. I saw 90% bad things on the floor. And Brad Stevens said, like, look, we've got to be fair. It's not right to judge a player on the few things that you see on the floor, because we, Brad Stevens says, get to see him every day. Him in film sessions, him on the practice floor whenever they do practice, him his on the bench. Like, we see everything. You guys see a portion of it, and you have, you know, and he's right. And we have to judge based on, like, the result. It's just like, you know, if it's a cooking show, you can say, well, we can look at Iron Chef and all of the craziness that goes into it, but when you put a plate in front of me, I'm judging the plate of food that's in front of me. And so every day when Aaron Nesmith is going out there and performing and playing, I'm judging that plate of food, you know? And you can say, boy, he really worked hard on those ingredients and putting that together. Like, yeah, but it tastes like crap. And that's what it was before. But now he's figuring it out. He's doing well. He's shooting well. So Aaron Nesmith, the confidence, the ability to pick things up, paying attention while he's on the bench, processing the things that are happening in the game. So when he sees it in real time, he can say, okay, when Brad says this, I need to be here, here, here. Like he's learning. Each game is a classroom, even if he doesn't play. So shout out to Aaron Nesmith for making progress and making progress so quickly and making it at a time where it's really damn impossible for a player to make that type of progress. Couple of shout outs here before I move on. Carson Edwards getting playing time, making the most of it. And good for him, hitting a couple of shots in this one. 12 minutes, but hit a couple of baskets, including a ridiculous four-point play. How about a four-point play for Grant Williams in 10 minutes? He hit a couple of big shots in that fourth quarter that stemmed a tide. Like, he fouls maybe too much right now, but Grant hit a couple of big three-pointers, including his own four-point play. So shouts to these guys for stepping up when they've been called upon. Now the Celtics are off to San Antonio, theoretically. San Antonio had a game postponed on Monday night, so Wednesday is kind of iffy. We don't know what that's going to mean. There was a report that was due to contact tracing and a possible exposure to a non-player, so we'll see what that means. It's possible that this game is going to be played, but we'll have to keep an ear out and see if that's actually going to be played. Up next, the bad, including some weird lineups. But I know they were out of necessity, but still bad, not good. So I'm going to talk about that next. If you are looking, I tell you what, no one, absolutely no one, would have bet on Carson Edwards and Grant Williams making a four-point play. And if you did, it's because you were hoping a long shot would hit. And I would be very interested to see what that money would have paid off on betonline.ag. You can go and check out betonline.ag and sign up for a free account. If you use the promo code LOCKEDON, you're going to get a 50% welcome bonus. So whatever you deposit, they give you 50% of that on top of what you deposit. So you win right away. $100, you get a $50 welcome bonus. $200, you get a $100 welcome bonus. That's how it works. So might as well, you're going to basically win your first bet. Super Bowl is around the corner. There's going to be a ton of prop bets and stuff. Everybody loves betting on the Super Bowl. There's college basketball. There's pro basketball, obviously. In-game action during NBA games. So you can watch a Celtics game and then get a sense for the third quarter and bet on something that's going to happen in the third quarter. Just go to betonline.ag and check it out. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. Get a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Please gamble responsibly. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. You're a busy person, so you want to get your sports news fast, and you can get it now in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts Locked On Today. It's a daily podcast breaking down the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. So start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcast. So in this game, I'm not going to overreact to a lot of the bad stuff because it was a back-to-back. No Kemba, like I said. Tatum did not have a minutes restriction, but they were still kind of monitoring him. So it's not 100% Tatum. This was weird lineups because of the back-to-back. Brad Stevens wanted to plug some guys in, and some guys got rewarded for performances from Sunday. So my first bad thing, Jeff Teague. That's all. Nothing left to say there. Jeff Teague. Tatum plus the bench lineups. Again, this is nitpicky, but the lineup of Javonte Green, Tristan Thompson, Jeff Teague, Semi Ojeleye, and Jason Tatum in the second quarter was not good. Now, Tristan Thompson obviously was one of the starters. They went too big. By the way, just as an aside, didn't see a lot of complaining about the too big lineup in this one. Didn't see a lot of complaining about the too big lineup after Sunday. Daniel Tice, by the way, I didn't really mention Daniel Tice much in that first segment, but let me sneak in this Daniel Tice, since I'm down a tangent anyway, because Daniel Tice looked good. I gave you his numbers before. I asked him about getting comfortable, and he said, "I think it took us a while as a group to find our spots, especially with the two big lineup. It was new for us. It was new for me. And now over the last couple of weeks, I feel more comfortable." Well, what do you know? What do you know that it took a couple of weeks of this crappy lineup to finally start getting comfortable? And now, after figuring it out a little bit, and on Sunday, you get a dose of Kemba Walker with that lineup, and it looked pretty good. And in this one, Daniel Tice looks good in that lineup. He did pretty well. Two big lineups. Still not going to be used very often. None of that changes, but you're damn right I'm going to take a tiny bit of a victory lap when Daniel Tice says, "Now over the last couple of weeks, I feel more comfortable." Like, exactly. Exactly. Give it time. People don't want to give things time. Didn't work for the first few games. It didn't look great for the first few games. People lose their minds. Now, oh, sorry. No, my bad. No patience at all. Tristan Thompson, as part of this lineup, was a starter, but didn't have the best game. But as far as this lineup goes, first of all, Jeff Teague was in this lineup, and Jeff Teague was on the floor. I'm saying this cold. I don't know what his plus minus was here. All right, he's a minus one. I would have thought that it was worse, but he was still a negative in a game where the Celtics led by as many as 20 points. So I still hold that against him. And he was on the floor with this. So this Javante, Thompson, Teague, Shemi, Tatum lineup, I thought in the third quarter they had, was it the second quarter or the third? They brought in, no, it was the fourth quarter. Sorry. Fourth quarter, they brought in Grant Williams. And suddenly things opened up a little bit. And Grant hit a couple of shots. And my take, I tweeted it out, when it's Tatum and this kind of ragtag group of bench players or mostly bench players, you need the floor spacing. You can't have a roller like Tristan Thompson. You need to have a floor spacer. So it's either going to be Daniel Tice or it's got to be you go small and you go with Grant or you go with Shemi Ojeleye. You can't have Tatum and somebody that clogs the lane, because Tatum is he's going to need a little extra help around the rim right now. That's still a thing that he needs. He can be very creative. He can be deadly. He can get super hot and hit crazy three-pointers. But when it comes to a crowd around the rim, that does not benefit him at all. So Tristan Thompson on the floor with Jason Tatum in this scenario, no. Especially Javante can hit threes, but not, you know, you help off of him. Teague has been hitting some threes for sure, but you're not too worried about him. Shemi Ojeleye, you're a little worried about him because he's been more consistent hitting his threes, and he only took one and missed it. Jeff Teague took one three and missed that, but that's not exactly lighting up the world. So if you're going to throw Tatum out there, fully healthy team, you want to go Tatum and bench units. First of all, Peyton Pritchard's going to be on the floor, so he can be a shooter and a spacer, but also a ball handler that can help take some of the pressure off of Tatum. If he gets blitzed, you can give it up to a guy like Pritchard, and he can attack and then drive and kick. So that's a person you want on the floor. You definitely want either Tice, if you're looking for a pick setter, or Grant Williams, or somebody that can hit a shot that understands where he needs to be. And then a couple of other shooters. Aaron Nesmith had a turn out there. This is where Aaron Nesmith could be very valuable. Because this lineup here, blah. Shemi Ojeleye can stay out there. And Javonte could have a turn in the right spots because his three-point shooting not as reliable, but his defense is pretty good. So instead of Tatum, Shemi, Teague, Thompson, and Javonte, you go Tatum, Pritchard. You can keep Shemi if you want. You can go Grant Williams instead. And then maybe Aaron Nesmith gets a shot out there and his increased defensive ability hopefully at some point warrants more minutes for him. So the point is, the Celtics had a couple of runs there where that the Tatum and bench lineups were not good, but once you got a little more spacing out there, it worked out. And then just throwing this Tristan Thompson thing out there because he was okay. I mean, he was very no shots attempted, 10 rebounds and an assist in 17 minutes. Is he going to start when the Celtics are at full strength? What's Brad Stevens going to do? Kemba, Tatum, Brown are starters. Do you go Smart? Do you try double big on Wednesday against a bigger San Antonio team? Do you try that and have Marcus Smart come off the bench because San Antonio has guards and player, you want to have some bench defense there? Do you want to try that for now until Pritchard comes back in about a week and a half? That's certainly a possibility. What do you do long term when the team is fully healthy? Do you start Marcus Smart? Do you bring him off the bench? Do you feel good with Jeff Teague? Do you feel good with Peyton Pritchard? A lot of questions there. But if you go with Smart as a starter, then you either go Tice or Thompson or Robert Williams. And now Robert Williams is coming off of COVID, so I don't know where he's going to fit. But I think the choice is between Tice and Thompson. And right now it's funny. A week ago, we were saying, well, it's probably going to be Thompson. Now it's probably going to be Tice, especially with his rapport with Kemba Walker. You probably want that continuity. You know, and hell, maybe you want Tristan Thompson to get some run against bench units and build his confidence up, and you let him get some, you know, get his legs back. Again, I'm willing to let Thompson take his time coming back. It's not easy. He's not in a great situation. He came to the Celtics with a hamstring issue. Then he missed most of training camp. They started out with these lineups. It took him a while to get used to everything. He's still figuring it out. But I think right now Daniel Tice becomes the starter when the Celtics start one big. That's my feeling right now. That's what makes the most sense. The only counter argument to that is you get Thompson in with the starters. They demand so much attention. Maybe you want to get him going and you trust Daniel Tice to run with the bench. That's possible too. I can buy that argument. Up next, Jason Tatum talks about the COVID diagnosis. You'll hear what he has to say about being worried after he learned that he had COVID. That is coming up next. It's winter, it's cold, you're driving your car, and you're inevitably going to need something for it, whether it's floor mats because when the snow comes, you've ruined your floor mats, or new wipers to handle all of the slush and everything. RockAuto.com is the place to go, whether you need to replace a headlight or you need something more complicated. RockAuto.com is the best choice. Don't go to one of those traditional chain storefronts. They only have certain things in stock, and that person behind the counter is going to spend just as much time entering the stuff that you're going to spend entering that stuff directly into RockAuto.com. Why bother? Do it yourself and get the part that you want rather than the part that they have at their price. You can save 30 to 50 to 100% more for the exact same auto parts, especially if you're looking at a dealership. So don't do that. RockAuto.com is a family business They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. That's why they don't have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. They're the same across the board, and they are reliably low. Check it out for yourself. The catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. When you do, you can go find anything you need for your car or truck. So go to rockauto.com right now. When you buy something, write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. That is very, very important that you write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box. That's how they know we sent you. It's amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. And you can use some of the money you've saved there to go buy yourself a box of Built Bars. You can snack on one on your way to work in the car that is running perfectly with those parts that you got from rockauto.com. Built Bar has 18 amazing flavors, including those without nuts. So if you've got an allergy, no problem. I have a couple of boxes that I'm tearing through right now from Built Bar. I like the peanut butter one, but they've sent me the sampler box and I'm just crushing some of these, like lemon almond cheesecake and salted caramel. Salted caramel is amazing. Can I just tell you? Amazing. They have great flavors. They're delicious, but low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. If you're on a keto diet, no problem. It's good for you too. So go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON. If you don't believe me, go buy one box. You'll get 20% off your next order with that promo code. And then when you love it, go back to BuiltBar.com, use the promo LOCKEDON again, and you're going to get another 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. It is hard to believe that it has been a year since the tragic loss of Kobe Bryant. On the Rejecting the Screen podcast, hosts Adam Stanko and Noah Kozlov are honoring Kobe's life and his career with a two-part special this week. Hear stories you haven't heard anywhere else about Kobe from teammates, opponents, coaches, and journalists. Subscribe to Rejecting the Screen and listen this week to celebrate the life of one of the NBA's all-time stars. After the game, Jason Tatum spoke, and obviously the questions went to his COVID diagnosis. He missed a couple of weeks with COVID, and obviously now he feels okay, but he says that the day he found out that he had tested positive, he had symptoms, like he had a headache and he had some chills. He had some of those flu-like symptoms a little bit. And so he went into isolation, which means he's away from Deuce, his son, which, you know, after being in the bubble, like, Jason Tatum loves his son. I mean, he and Deuce are inseparable. And now here he is home in Boston and he can't hang out with his kid because he's got COVID. But he gets through it fine. And why I want to bring this up is partly because so many people say, oh, they get through it, they're fine. Yeah, they're fine. Okay, yeah, Jason Tatum's fine. But listen to him talk about when he first heard that he had tested positive. Listen to him talk about his mentality when somebody tells him, like, yep, you're positive, you've got COVID-19.
Mentally, I can't even lie. It was tough, especially your initial reaction. You know, once you find out, I don't know if it's panic, but you know, you definitely worry because you know everything you read about and hear, and how many people it's affected, and how many people you know didn't make it. So you know, especially like the first, I don't know, four days or so, you know, it was, lack of a better word, it bothered me. You know, it was on my mind. I was, you know, thinking like, you know, do I feel okay? Do I not feel okay? It was in my mind. You know, can I smell this? You know, does my chest hurt or am I just overthinking? So, and then, I mean, you lock, you know, you, on lockdown for 2 weeks. So, mentally, you know, it can be tough, especially at first.
So you have a young professional athlete in the prime of his life, and he knows that COVID has been the problem that it's been. And he knows that some guys have gotten it and have not done well with it. And here he is wondering, do I smell this? Where is my chest, my heart? Like, that's tough. And let's listen to Avery Bradley. So Avery Bradley was on the Posted Up podcast with Chris Haynes. And Avery Bradley tested positive for COVID-19. And if you remember when he was with Miami, when he was with the Lakers, he skipped the bubble because he didn't want to go. It was uncertainty. He didn't want to go and be a part of this and obviously be away from his family. He was trying to do everything right. He's trying to do everything right. And he still got COVID. Here's a clip that Chris Haynes shared on his Twitter feed. Avery Bradley on the Post It Up podcast.
When you heard that news, what was your initial thoughts? Because you did opt out of the bubble, so you didn't get to go through the process that they had in place over there after learning that type of news.
To come up with the news, knowing that I got it at work, I was a little frustrated, man. To be honest, I was frustrated because I feel like it compromised my family's safety. The game before I got COVID, I was so worried hearing all the noise, man. I warmed up with a mask on. Everybody was looking at me like I was crazy. But in my head, like that made sense for me because I still don't understand this virus. And I even told one of the referees, Kenny, before the game, I said, please make sure you're wearing a mask. I literally told him before the game. And the next day I find out that I had COVID.
Here's my problem. I know the NBA is pressing forward. And let me pause for a second here and just say that I'm not normally one to deal with the non-reality of things. Like, the reality here is the NBA is pressing forward. And there's nothing to be said about that. It's just going to press forward. And nothing I say is going to change that or impact anything at all. So usually this is a point where I'm just like, you know, it's not worth my time. But I feel compelled. Because you listen to Tatum and you listen to Avery Bradley. And these are young men who, if anybody is going to get it and be fine, it's these guys. And they got it, and they're okay in the end. But when you listen to them talk about the fear, the worry, the psychosomatic response about, you know, can I smell this? Does my chest hurt? What are we doing putting people through this? And this is... this is just the NBA. What are we doing putting just everyday people through what they're going through? But this is an NBA podcast. I'm focusing on the NBA. We're putting a lot of people at risk. Really bothers me that we're here on January 26th, 2021, with a pandemic that's gotten so out of control that our only choice now is to just plow through it and hope that the people who get it are okay. And the NBA is trying to avoid losing billions of dollars. And so they're postponing games. Like I said, the Spurs game was postponed last night. And the Wednesday game is potentially in jeopardy with the Celtics and the Spurs. And so here we are with the NBA just saying, you know, look, we're going to keep going forward, keep moving forward, keep We'll figure it out, but we got to keep moving forward. Is it worth putting these guys through this? Is it really worth it? These guys, every player in the NBA, when you get it, do you just get it and you're like, nah, not a problem? No, they get it and they feel they're nervous. They've got kids. They've got families. Robert Williams, his daughter tested positive. The daughter's mom tested positive. His mom tested positive. You know, look at Karl Anthony Towns. Look at Karl Anthony Towns. His family has been devastated. He lost his mom. He lost other people. And then he knows the precautions and everything you got to take, and he still got it. Unavoidable. It's unavoidable. At some point, everybody in the NBA is going to be exposed. Is it worth it? And again, it doesn't make a difference because to the NBA, yeah, it's worth it. These guys are going to have to get over it. And I know some of you might be saying the same thing. Hey, they're going to be fine. We've all got worries. Yeah, we've all got worries. I got my worries too. I don't want to get this thing either and spread it to my elderly parents, be responsible for something horrible happening. And when I say this stuff, again, it's not to put the NBA above the everyday person who has to go and work in a supermarket or in a hospital or a pharmacy or anywhere else, wherever you work. It's not to disrespect you. You shouldn't be in the situation either. But because I'm talking about the NBA and the NBA players, this is ridiculous that these players have to go through this. That the NBA is putting human beings at risk. I don't know what you do about it, but it's just, I don't know. It stood out to me that Tatum was, you know, everything Tatum said in the same day that Bradley said this. I know that there are other jobs at stake. There are people who work in the arenas and they need their jobs and they need their money. And maybe my bigger problem is not that the NBA is playing. It's that we're just here overall. And it still bothers me that we're here overall. And that we're in a position where the 8 security people who are sitting on the floor during a game watching empty stands need to do this so they can make their money. Maybe I'm just upset that we couldn't have found a better way. So we didn't have to say, well, got to go to work now. Sorry that it's dangerous. Maybe my biggest problem is that it shouldn't have been dangerous on January 26th, 2021 in the first place. I'll just leave it there. I don't want to belabor that point. I want to talk about basketball and the things that are happening on the floor. Unfortunately, COVID is one of the things that's happening on the floor. But the Celtics will theoretically be going off to San Antonio on Tuesday for a game that is scheduled on Wednesday as of now, and we'll see if that continues. It'd be interesting if that game is postponed and the Celtics are in Chicago. The Celtics do have to make up a game against Chicago, I think. Will the NBA on Wednesday night just have the Celtics in Chicago make up that game? Why not? Celtics are supposed to play? Just do it. Just have them play. But they were talking about that on the broadcast. Scal was talking about it. I think Sean Granny was talking about it. I like that idea. We'll see. So if you want to find out, and if they do that, I'll talk about it here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. So make sure you are subscribed. All of you regular listeners, you know what to do. 5-star rating, good written review, and share the podcast. Tell your friends that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.